Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
He is a Carolina man through and through. He understands the cultural relevance and importance of Cookout, and that is a very quick indoctrination into the Carolinas for LaMelo Ball, something that I think John Ellis of One Panther Place wholly supports. He's back with us on the Technicom hotline. John, you heard that. LaMelo Ball's first stop was Cookout. That's a good sign for the Hornets.
I just want to know how fast he was able to order as a first-timer there. The Cookout menu, first time I checked it out, was an absolute mind-blowing experience. But, yeah, as a Carolina boy, Cookout's the way to go, pal, no doubt.
Absolutely. Cookout and Bojangles. Those are the two staples. Now, John, I was looking just before, a little while ago, I took a peek at the Vegas boards yesterday, kind of late yesterday, and I saw the Panthers were kind of holding tight as a 1.5, 2-point favorite in Sunday's game. In a matter of somewhere between 12 and 24 hours, there's been a 4-point swing on the Vegas boards, and Detroit is now a 2-point favorite. To me, that's worrisome because it could indicate somebody's got some inside information as to the availability of Teddy Bridgewater Sunday, or lack thereof. How does that change your outlook for Sunday's game if he can't go?
Well, I'm going to work under the assumption that Bridgewater's not going to play. I don't want to be speculative here, but I feel this injury might suggest a week off would be best for him. I think this organization is showing some caution right now with injuries based on where they are in the rebuilding process and where they were with Cam Newton last year. Obviously, they're trying to take things slow with these guys. Bill Booth from Panthers.com had just reported here shortly ago that Bridgewater was out at practice, not in a red jersey. So that leaves a little bit of doubt. Maybe he might play. I don't see it happening. He could. I don't have any inside info that he's not. But Detroit, I think that maybe suggests that Stafford might be on the mend. We talked to a guest last night on our podcast, a Lions insider, that seemed to believe that might be the case. So either way, it's going to be a fascinating experience if one of these quarterbacks is out, particularly Carolina, with two backups waiting in the wings and a lot of evaluation going on.
Yeah, I mean, look, in theory, we could see, Chase Daniel versus Will Greer or P.J. Walker, possibly both on Sunday. Yep. Boy, that'll make for some national television ratings. But as far as the Panthers go, we were having this debate a couple of minutes ago. I think from a purely entertainment standpoint and just straight-up curiosity, I'd love to see P.J. Walker get the reins for at least, the first half there. But I also understand why you might need to play Will Greer because he was a third-round pick last year. Matt Rhule, by the way, you heard this. He said yesterday they're under no pressure or feel no obligation to play Will Greer because he was a third-round pick. But what do you think makes the most sense for them if they have to make that decision?
Well, I thought that was an interesting comment by Coach Rhule to come out and say, look, we're not tethered to a draft pick. Typically, that's not something that is spoken in public by a coach, and that may cut against the grain with Marty Herney a little bit. That's his pick. But at the same time, I understand what he's saying. You're trying to build a program here. You've got to evaluate what's best in the moment. I know as fans, we kind of get caught up in the media as well. Let's tank. Let's try this guy out. This will be fun. All coaches are thinking about, Kyle, is how to win the next day. That's all they're thinking about. They're thinking about, who do I put in the best position to win this game? Is it P.J. Walker with his speed, athleticism? Is it Will Greer coming into his third year here, giving an opportunity to maybe have a chance to shine and show that draft stock was worth it? I don't have a favorite either way. I'd love to see either one of these guys compete this year. No better time than the present to try it out, which is why I think he ought to take it slow with Teddy. Give one of these two young guys a chance to shine on a relatively national stage and see if they can do some good things here so you can know what you have moving forward.
Let's stick with the offense for a second, and what I mean by that is they're facing a Detroit defense on Sunday that, as you likely know, they're ranked 29th in the league in points allowed, basically giving up 30 a game. They're ranked 30th in the league in rushing yards allowed per game, giving up about 141. This is not a good Lions defense, so it would be a very, very inopportune time for Teddy to be out because this is a defense that can be had, and even to a lesser degree could still be had by a good quarterback performance from one of these two backups. When you turn on the tape and watch Detroit defensively, where are they most vulnerable?
Oh, man coverage, Kyle. We talked about this, Billy Marshall, on our podcast, and man coverage, they have been very bad this year. You know, they drafted Jeff Okuda, the top, you know, pick out of Ohio State there, the lockdown corner, and he's been very good against the run, honestly. His pass coverage has not quite been there yet. It's developing. They just can't get pressure on the quarterback. That's part of it. But they play a lot of man coverage, and they don't do it very well. That's kind of what we've come to the conclusion from looking at tape. What does that mean? Well, Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, if they stick to their guns, if Matt Patricia wants to keep playing man and steer away from zone, hey, there's some open opportunity there for these guys to make some plays. But the shame of it is, you're right, if Bridgewater can't go at 100%, or even if he does go and he's not 100%, you know, he's limited, and then he really can't take that next step. Because Bridgewater, I like the guy, but he has to keep showcasing that he has the ability not only to put up the numbers, but to finish these games. You got to get us some wins to grow some confidence within this organization. So it's a tough break for Teddy that he got hurt. I'm glad his knee didn't get shredded up. But to your point, whoever's playing quarterback will have some opportunities in the passing game and man coverage to take advantage of this dubious man coverage secondary.
Well said. John Ellis, One Panther Place. He's with us on the Technicom hotline. You can and should follow him on Twitter at One Panther Place. Everybody's got a take on what the proper way to handle Christian McCaffrey is the rest of the season. What is yours?
I just think 1 week at a time. I hate to sound so cliche, Kyle.
You sound like a coach, John.
But Coach Brad. That's my John Fox voice next time. 1 week at a time. Look, I just think Christian knows his body well enough, and I said this last week. I think the organization has learned some lessons with the emphasis on sports science, with learning from how previous injuries have been handled. Take this thing slowly. You've got Mike Davis playing good football. Obviously, people get worked up about McCaffrey's contract. That's a whole other discussion about how to pay a running back. But obviously, McCaffrey brings more to the table than just running between the tackles. Take it slow. Make sure this thing is right. There's a lot of question marks about where he is in the process with this injury, and a lot of that's internal. So I'd say, you know, err on the side of caution with your franchise running back right now.
John, let's go to the defense. What gives you, and I'll start broadly here. Yeah, we've talked a lot, you and I have, about the rookies, individual performances, but let's just reset. 10 weeks in, 10 games on the tape. Who has impressed you the most on the defensive side of the ball?
Without question, Brian Burns. I mean, here's PFF has him the last 3 weeks at 17 quarterback pressures. He's so close, Kyle. You know, you saw him against Patrick Mahomes. He made the big play on the RPO late to get him off the field. He almost strip-sacked Tom Brady. He's already had a strip sack on Matt Ryan this year that should have been returned for a touchdown. Unfortunately, that was not scooped up. He's just week in and week out impressing me with his ability to go against top-tier talent at left tackle and the bend he shows around the edge, how low he gets and how fast. There was one play, the play with Tom Brady where he barely got the ball off to Godwin down there on the boundary there on the first drive. Burns is there in 1.96 seconds. I clocked it on my little machine here. So I have to say, you know, Burns is the standard right now for this defense. Derrick Brown is coming along. He's starting to get more pressure on film, I'm seeing. But they don't have any depth on the line. They have Yuturgos Matos, and this was expected year one. Yutur is a good player. I like him. He's coming along. Got to stay healthy. Zach Kerr is a good nose tackle. Other than that, they just don't have a lot of meat right there in the middle. So they got to continue to build that depth. They've got to overhaul the linebacker situation with Tahir Whitehead. He's just not fit that bill, in my view. Shaq's coming on a little bit. In the secondary, they need some pieces there. I'm not sure what they're going to do long-term at corner. If you want to be able to compete in this division, though, as you know, long-term, you've got to have solid, consistent play from, you know, your corners. So, to answer your question, Brian Burns is the standard on defense. As my friend Billy Marshall would say, everybody else has got to get on his level.
Are you? I'm glad you said linebacker there because you read my mind. If Marty Herney came to you and said, map out our plan at linebacker going into the offseason, are you looking in free agency? Are you looking in the draft at, you know, Micah Parsons, Dylan Moses from Alabama? There are some talented linebackers in this class. How would you address that and overhaul that position?
I think you try to analyze what's available in the draft, where you're drafting. If it's round one, that's one of your top three needs right now. Left tackle, inside linebacker, and, you know, honestly, maybe quarterback. We'll have to see where Bridgewater pans out here. They have a lot of needs, Tom, and you can't just pinpoint one area. But we've talked about this all year. The run fits have been atrocious. The coverage has been woefully inept at times. And you got to lean on your veterans, Kyle, to make these plays. These aren't rookies, you know, blowing some of these coverages or not fitting the run like they should. These are guys like, again, Tahir Whitehead, who PFF had him graded for most of the season as the worst rookie linebacker in the league. Again, I'm not here to take a dump on the guy, but, you know, he's a veteran. He's here to perform. He gets paid. He's got to perform at a higher level or else it's time to move on. So I would say let's see what we have in free agency. There'll be some good guys available. If the draft is sitting there and you get a good young linebacker for the next 10 years, go for it. Get it done.
John, do you think that we're looking out on the field next year in 2021 and watching Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel all three together on the field?
Oh, that's a great question. I wish I knew. It's, you know, Curtis' name has been dangled, you know, by some in the media, maybe even leaked out, who knows, as possible trade bait at times. I think Matt genuinely likes Curtis. I think Joe Brady genuinely likes Curtis Samuel. So I think he might be a part of their plan moving forward. Robbie, I really like what they're doing with him, particularly early in the season. They need to get back to some of the vertical concepts with him. Some of the five-yard slants they're running with him are okay. It's getting a little bit predictable. So keep using Robbie where he's strong down the field. And DJ Moore, he gets knocked a lot for the drops, and I know folks can knock him there, especially some scouts about his route running. I love DJ Moore. I think he's a guy you lock up. He's a physical wide receiver. Folks say, well, he's got to have a mean streak like Steve Smith. Look, you got to be who you are. He's a mild-mannered guy, but deep down, if you watch him run in the open field after the catch, he's elite. He's very good. Keep honing in on those route running skills. Get better with your hands a little bit. But he's an elite receiver when given the opportunity. Really, it comes down to how Joe Brady moving forward, and I think he'll be a part of this team for a few years. I don't think he's taking any jobs after this year. I think he's a little soon for that. What does Joe Brady want to piece together? Is this Bridgewater experiment for real? Is this something that they're genuinely committed to long-term or at least into next year? Because that impacts what decisions they might make around it. Left tackle with wide receiver. They've got to get the tight end involved. So they have a lot of things to address. But those three receivers, I keep them together as long as I could.
John, last thing, and I meant to ask you this question last week, and I have to credit a listener who texted this in to remind me. James Bradberry, having a really good season up in New York. A lot of folks, you hear from them too, saying the Panthers screwed up in letting James Bradberry walk. Is that true?
Well, I don't like to be an absolutist on these things. You know, I was on the fence with Bradberry because, you know, it sort of fit the theme with this program moving forward. Where can they continue to retain some of their veteran talent and still rebuild? And I think they had to make some decisions. They made a decision with Shaq Thompson. I still think that was an okay decision moving forward. You've got to solidify the middle of that defense, at least in terms of the linebacker position that he plays. He's played very well. But, again, a lot of the scheme specific could be that, you know, what Phil Snow wants to run here, which has raised a lot of question marks among the fan base. I would caution some patience there. Maybe didn't fit into what Bradberry's game was all about. And, you know, he's done tremendous work in New York. I'm happy for the guy. Paying a corner that much money at the time seemed a little bit of a leap, but when you look at the other contracts that came in after James and how they're performing versus Bradberry, kind of a bargain. So, yeah, they might be kicking themselves on that one.
All right. John Ellis, One Panther Place, you are the man, buddy. I appreciate you as always, but especially for your kindness and your flexibility this week. It was good to catch up. We'll do it again next Friday.
Thanks, Kyle. Enjoy the game, everybody.